Welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. And for this one, it's going to be a short one. It's Friday, right before Christmas week, and Barb is on her way, so I want to get one done before Barb gets home. I'm going to grab a water real quick. I just want to say I saw the new Star Wars, The Last Jedi. I thought it was amazing. There's one scene in there that sort of blew my fucking mind. I tend to like series or movies where the underdog loses but has to make like ultimate sacrifices, and I thought this movie had that. My favorite scene is still the opening. With Poe Dameron and them attacking one of those new Star Destroyers and the bombers. It reminded me of like World War II, where you have the bombers going out there, and yeah, you have your gun or whatever, but it's the planes that have to protect the bombers in order for them to succeed in what they do stuff. And I just love that scene. Man, it was so good. And then I rewatched Rogue Squadron again, and man, I just love that movie. It's gotta be like in my top three Star Wars films. I just find it masterful, especially the end. Really well put together piece to jump you right into episode four. A lot of surprises with The Last Jedi. I was a lot surprised with how things went, especially with some of the actors. I would have went very differently based on what had happened in real life, but they chose to go another way. But I'm probably gonna go see it again at the holidays during the holidays with my father-in-law at one of those beer movie theaters. It's either that or Justice League again if it's still showing, because I love Justice League. But still, the two movies that stood out to me as being the best movies of the year are Wind River, which is my top movie. I absolutely love it. And then in second place is the William Marston Wonder Woman film about the creator. I loved that movie. And then probably you got Star Wars and then Justice League and Wonder Woman. Or no, probably Wonder Woman then Justice League. Although there's a Wonder Woman scene in Justice League where I think she steals the show, where there's a bunch of terrorists. God, I love that scene. There's a bunch of terrorists in the UK or somewhere in London, I think. Maybe it was France, but and she has to stop the act of terrorism. Oh my God, it's good. I was really pleased with Flash, and just to wrap up some of them, I just finished last season of Supergirl, and I thought it was remarkably good. I would wake up in the morning around 6 a.m. and get on the elliptical, watch an episode every morning, unless I wasn't feeling good, or I had a real bad headache. But most of the time, I was able to get that in, and I got all caught up on Supergirl. So I'm all caught up on last season of Supergirl, last season of Flash, and last season of Arrow. And I enjoyed all of them, and I got to get caught up on Legends of Tomorrow. I was holding off on that one because it's my favorite, and Barb wanted to keep watching that one, so but she kind of gave me her blessing to go ahead and watch it, so I'll be looking at that one last. But I really do like them CW shows. They're very soap opery, and you get into them if you're patient, and it's a good show to, like, I don't know, to like exercise to, or just mindless entertainment. And one of the things that I saw on Facebook recently is Dinesh has been posting a lot of buying Bloodshot's first appearance and saying, "Well, it's coming and it's coming." And this time I replied. I said, You keep saying stuff like that, and we never see anything. I'll believe it when I see it. It's like the boy who cried wolf, I told him. And he liked it. He kept it humorous. And I said it was like reading a comic scene back in the day. And Comic Scene was before Wizard. It was a magazine, actually, wasn't like a shorter book like Wizard. Wizard was like comic size but thick. But Comic Scene was like a full-size magazine, and it was the comic book magazine of the time. It was in color. They had great articles, and then they had this section in there called the movies that were coming out. And one thing that I would always go to first is like all these movies that are characters that were being optioned by movie studios. And man, it was cr incredible at the time. You would like be blown away. You were like, oh man, we're gonna get like 10 movies a year. And man, we'd be lucky if we got one every 3 years. So there was a lot of movie announcements that would happen. And I kind of posted to Dinesh. I was like, it's kind of like reading Comic Scene. You get excited and then it never happens. I remember back in the day, the only things that were happening were Batman. They kept showing Fantastic Four, the one that never came out. Spider-Man kept getting optioned, but nothing ever happened. I mean, there's so many properties. The only ones that really panned out were Swamp Thing. There was a lot of Swamp Thing, and we got sequel on that and a TV show out of that. And Man-Thing actually was shown on, I think, God, if I remember, it's the sci-fi station. They did that. I don't even remember anything about that, whereas the Swamp Thing movies I remember. I enjoyed both the Swamp Thing movies. And I don't think I've watched all of the TV show. I watched a couple of episodes. But that's what it reminded me of. I think I just get tired of them pre-announcing stuff so far in advance and then never actually saying anything. Like, I think we're going to get the Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe comic book way before we actually ever get to see the YouTube video. But it is what it is. I just wish they'd be honest and let us know what's going on. I wonder how that vesture that investment from the Chinese companies doing. I'd be really curious to be a fly on the wall because once you get investors into your company, man, they start trying to guide it. And I don't feel that they've changed the comic books at all. I think they're not interested in that, but we'll see what happens when we get some kind of media presence from Valiant. It'll be interesting. Let's see, is there anything else I want to talk about? I did want to talk about the finale of the last two episodes of Supergirl. Wait, last two episodes of Flash were my favorite too. So the Supergirl thing was really cool because Mon-El's mom. The Daxamites invaded Earth. And there was such a cool scene with like strong women where it had Linda Carter, who's the president. She's actually a alien, a Durlian. And it had Cat Grant, which I think she's amazing in Supergirl. I was very disappointed when she left the series. And exchange between Terry Hatcher. I mean, you think about some great characters talking to one another as strong women. You had Linda Carter as Wonder Woman and Terry Hatcher as Lois from the Lois and Clark TV show back in the day, and they even had Hercules, Kevin Sorbo, who played Mon-El's father. I really liked the way they changed Mon-El toward the end. I really liked the relationship between Kara's sister and man, I can't think of the cop's name. Because she's a lesbian in the comics too. Ah, I can't remember her name. She actually went to Gotham for some time, but she's mostly in the Metropolis world. I can't think of her name. It drives me crazy. It's in the white dot somewhere. But anyway, I better kick up a notch because I want to get through the weekly reads. And I hope I didn't miscount. But I'm falling really far behind. This is a week beginning January 30th going through February 5th. And I want to wish you all a happy holidays. I hope you guys have a good, restful, peaceful, family-filled Christmas. And I hope it's peaceful and safe. That's, I guess, the best I can hope for. I know holidays are great for a lot of people and they're torture for others. And I hope that you guys all have a wonderful one or make it the best you possibly can and then come well rested into the new year to start a wonderful 2018. So, this is books from January 30th of 2017. If I'm not careful, I'm going to lap myself. January 30th, 2017 to February 5th of 2017. If I'm not careful, I'm going to lap myself. But what I'm hoping is that when I get back, I'll be able to do two of them and hopefully keep caught up. Not caught up, but at least releasing two to three a month of Mike M's. Let me total these real quick because I didn't total them. For that week, I had 26, 28, 29, 30, 30. And this is when I was still keeping caught up with a lot of DC. So I had 25 DC, one Dynamite, one IDW, one Marvel, and one Triumphant comic. And we'll start at the bottom at the 3 out of 5s. That means I liked it. A 4 out of 5 is I really liked it, and a 5 out of 5 is I love it. But starting at the bottom, we have Superpowers number 4. This is the kids' book from DC, and this is versus the Legion of Doom and Super Primal. Super Primal is kind of like a Brainiac version of Superman's brother, but he's it's kind of like Superboy Prime. But it's a satire type book about that. It's entertaining. It of all the DC kids books, this is the youngest written book. All the other ones I think fall in that all ages. This one is definitely driving in at the younger audience. We had Looney Tunes 235. It had a Dick Tracy protects a vase in a museum but destroys it, trying to stop bugs from getting to the vase. And it also had Daffy destroys Porky's peaceful place. I remember that liking that museum story quite a bit. We had Aquaman number 21 and 22. This is from Volume 5. Must have done a retro that week. Either that, I was planning for it and didn't do it. I can't remember. It's so long ago. But this is the Peter David run, and I think these were issues that I was missing out of the collection. In other words, towards the middle there, for some reason, I stopped getting Aquaman. I always would go through phases, and it would usually happen when I'm filing away books I hadn't read. And I'd be filing these books away, and I'm like, holy fuck, I'm so far behind, I'm not reading it. And then the engineer in me is like, why am I buying it? And then, I mean, things obviously change now. I more of a library mentality, but it could change again. But these were it had Aquaman, Dolphin, and Garth trying to reunite factions of Atlantis using a telepathy ship. And it had Kordax and Koryak destroying some of those territories. And if you remember, I think Koryak was one of Aquaman's sons, where he pregnated a woman in, oh man, I can't remember if it was an Eskimo in Alaska. And then we have from Triumphant Comics. Triumphant Comics was an interesting publisher, and they caught my attention around the years of the Malibu. Let me see if I can look them up real quick and see if it has just a little blurb. If I can spell Triumphant Comics. They came out. I think I have a close to having all of their runs. See if they have a Wikipedia entry. I'm seeing a lot of different things, but not a Wikipedia entry. God dang it. I want to just like a little blurb to tell you a little bit about them. Let's see if we have something. No, that was Triumph Comics. Well, I'm going to tell you what Triumphant was. Around the time of Image and Malibu, especially the Ultraverse, there was a group that tried to target the sci-fi genre, and they were called Triumphant Comics. And they were also coming in like when that speculator market broke, but a little bit after it was like a little too late, in my opinion. And that's why it never really took off. But their little niche was they were going to number and keep low print runs on these books. And each book would be stamped with the number. So, like, if there was a 2000 print run and you had issue one of the 2000, it was like a number, like in a statue. Like when you buy a DC statue, it tells you what actual number you have in those 2000 statues that were created. That was what Triumphant had. And I guess at this time there was a book called Dr. Chaos, and I was digging in a box, and I pulled out Dr. Chaos, which wasn't an event. It kicked off during an event that they had called Unleashed, and it even tells me the print run in my database. It says for issue one there were 32,000 issues of that. Quite a bit of a print run in today's standards. It'd be interesting to see what some of the ones towards the end. Well, I think it ended with six issues. Let me download covers and make sure I have them all. 'Cause I'm missing 2, 5, and 6, and it listed 8, but I don't think they exist. 7 and 8, I don't think they exist. But up to 6, it should. And it was written by John Reilly, and the artist was Greg Fox. And just like the decrease, issue 2 went to 30,000 copies. Issue 3 went to 20,000 copies. Issue 4 went to 18,000. So it's almost like going with the attrition, like that you see in the sales numbers for Diamond. Let's see, is issue 6. Issue 6 came out. We had a print run of 15,000 copies. So yeah, I'd like to complete this at some point and just say, hey, I've completed this dead universe. My favorite was Chromium Man, which was more of a superhero type sci-fi. But let's see if I give you a synopsis of what Dr. Chaos is. He's a supreme divinity of all events. He's a strategist, unparalleled, a shaper of destiny. And he's a seer. And it was trying to be like a Sandman. He lives in a portion of the universe where immortals walk, and it's got like death, faith, war, sex, all those places at dinner parties and such. And this particular issue, I rated a 4 out of 5, and it had Dr. Chaos having a poor sex life. It was kind of entertaining as hell. His dogs interrupt two people on Earth from having sex. And he was watching them, and he uncovers a plot for death to attack chaos. And it was just a weird story. Highly entertaining in today's terms. I don't remember ever I don't think I read it when it came out. I think I might have bought issues 3 and 4, but I didn't buy 1, and that's why I read it now. We have Justice League number 14. They're trapped after an alien invasion. They get to know each other better while underneath a lot of rubble. We have Superman number 16, joins with other Supermen and like the Multiversity team to defeat a prophecy, but Mr. Oz is in charge. So it's interesting now because we just finished the Oz Effect in Action Comics, and it's been going on for quite a while. You think, Superman number 16. We have Doom Patrol number 4. This is Casey captured in space but escapes with Danny the Street. And Danny's friend, she is part of Danny. So that's what you learn, is that Casey is actually an extension of Danny. Negative Man and Robot Man face a trial from the negative space, and Larry accepts his job. Chase's partner's family life with his son. And we have Scooby-Doo Team-Up number 22. This one I like a lot. A villain turns out to be Frankenstein Jr. Evil, and he fights the Impossibles. First exposure to these properties that I've ever had. There used to be a Frankenstein Jr. cartoon and a story about the Impossibles, and both of them were in it. And sometimes you see Scooby-Doo team up with a team up with other Hanna-Barbera properties, but mostly it's with the DC team. This was with another Hanna-Barbera property. We have Green Lanterns number 16. Batman calls the Lanterns to Gotham to search for someone using a yellow ring to possess people. It turns out to be Scarecrow, which is interesting because if you think of Blackest Night and all that stuff, Scarecrow did have a yellow ring. There was also an interesting conversation between Batman and Baz about the gun that he carries. We have Wolf Cop number 1. This was from Dynamite. I think it's based on a movie, and I'd be interested in seeing the movie because the comic was highly entertaining. This is a drunk cop turns into a wolf, and has a sidekick as they take it down a motorcycle gang who captures people to feed to their boss. So he's like a wild boar, and these like motorcycle gangs and such, they'll like capture people and they'll take the people to the boss and they eat them. I enjoyed it. A very B filmish, if you're into that kind of sort of thing. We have Wonder Woman 77 and Bionic Woman number 2. They go to a funeral for one of Diana's co-workers. They work together to attack a ship with a terrorist, and it introduces Dr. Cyber, which is a Wonder Woman villain. There was also a Bionic Woman villain in there as well, but I'm not as familiar with them because when I watched Bionic Woman in the 70s, I didn't remember names. I only know Oscar and a Bionic Woman. I don't remember a lot of the other characters. We have Batman 66 and Wonder Woman 77. This has been really good. This was Ra's al Ghul is after a rare book with his daughter Talia, which reminds Bruce of the first time. The Nazis and Ra's al Ghul were after the book when he was young. He sees Wonder Woman in current time and teams up with, or this in the past he saw Wonder Woman in the Nazi time, so I guess she's like didn't age, and he teams up with a young Talia. No, that's present. I'm sorry. This is like a young Bruce, and it's a flashback to when it was young Bruce and young Talia. And kind of, they were saved by Wonder Woman with a group of Nazis. So like the time shift in this is kind of in the Wonder Woman 77 time frame, because she did fight Nazis, even though it was, I don't think it was Nazi time. I'd have to go back and revisit that series. I know there were Nazis in it, though. We have Death of Hawkman, number 5, the death of Ismot and the Thanagarian GL. Despera uses Alana to attack her husband, that is Adam Strange's wife, and Hawkman. They're actually being manipulated, so all of the Ranians are being manipulated to attack the Thanagarians. And Despero takes the nth metal from Hawkman. He actually takes it from his body, like sucks it off of him. We have Nightwing number 14. They take out Mr. Nice. Runoffs get off, and Cop gets all the credit. Defacer and Nightwing kiss. So this is the start of the relationship between the Defacer and Nightwing, which you'll learn later on. Oh, I don't want to spoil it, but you'll learn later on how that relationship either continues or doesn't continue. We have Midnight and Apollo number 5. It's a face-off between Midnight and Neuron. I really enjoy Neuron. I wonder if they have that on that Comixology sale. I'd like to revisit the Forever. No, it's not Forever Evil. The Neurons series, they were in a bunch of annuals. Have to find out what that was and see if they have it available. We have Frostbite number 5. This is a sci-fi Vertigo series. Keaton survived and saves Victoria, even though Victoria really did not need it as she got sunk in the Titanic. We have Star Trek Green Lantern second series number 2. Sinestro retrieves the Manhunter. There's a race to Oa, or OA, however you want to say it, but both teams, John Guy and Kilowog, come out of relaxing on Earth to go after Atrocitus, and there are a lot of Manhunters. Aquaman number 16, he's treated as a hero in Amnesty Bay, finds out why Mera will not marry him, and it introduces a new villain called Warhead. We have Cyborg number 9, he finds out more about his father and mother while he's fighting Anomaly. This story just goes all the way into the 20s, man. It just never ends. Exie gets on the Cyborg's back and controls him like a video game. They escape Anomaly to fight another day. This one I liked a lot, but it starts getting old as time goes on because the storyline just keeps going on and on and on. I think Cyborg would have done better if they had stuck to like 4-issue arcs or something, instead of just keep the main thread. That was long, one of the longest story arcs I've ever seen. Detective Comics 855, 857. I don't think it's fair to him to do that. This is Kate shoots Alice with a new type of bullet, but it's ineffective. Alice uses a razor and a mouth with hallucinogen to drug Kate. Kate's father and the True Believers rescue Kate. It's the first meeting with Maggie Sawyer. That's the name I wanted to mention. And the Supergirl, where she's dating Kara's sister, Maggie Sawyer is the cop. Kate and Colonel find out Alice is her sister. Kate goes to rescue her father and stop Alice from releasing the disease on Gotham. Batman number 16. So I rated a Batman really high, a Tom King Batman. This is he eats lunch with the Robins and tells them to leave when Bane attacks. Gotham Girl is going to get the first dosage of Psycho Pirate in a cave when Bane attacks and leaves the dead Robins there. The scene opens up with Bronze Tiger going after Psycho Pirate for a cure from Venom because he was addicted to Venom. I didn't like that. I like Bronze Tiger. Guard tries to kill Psycho Pirate but is foiled by Batman. Batman tells Catwoman to leave Gotham on the GCPD roof. We have Harlequin number 13. This is Joker turns out to be Edwin from the first series who was infatuated with Harley. This was really good. This Harley arc, I think it was 12 through 15 or something like that. I'd recommend that if you're a fan of Harley Joker. It's really interesting. Works with the Joker to become the Joker and find out all his secrets. And Harley tortures and ends up killing him. So you think this is the Joker initially, but it's not. It's somebody infatuated with Harlequin and the Joker, and he's like mimicking the Joker. We have Green Arrow number 16. Ollie and the Chief Westbrook defeat the Vice Squad, which wasn't a good team. The Red Arrow, Emmy, and Ollie are reunited. So Emmy's Ollie's sister, and they call her Red Arrow. She kind of mimics like what you see in the show, you know, how Ollie has a sister. Merlin kills Chief Westberg as Ollie reveals his identity to him. So he had revealed his identity to the chief before he got murdered. We have X-Men 109. I believe I read this for Retro, and it was in the Alpha Flight Omnibus. This is Weapon Alpha goes after the Weapon X. The X-Men come back from a trip from space and go on a picnic to rescue Wolverine. It was entertaining. That was my last 4 out of 5, which leads us into the 5 out of 5s, which is the Fall and Rise of Captain Atom 2. Back in the past and powerless, and in a world with no superpowers at all, Captain Atom takes on a new identity to become a friend with a physicist and determines that he can or can't do what he can and can't do to affect the timeline. He falls in love and gets a particular doctor pregnant. This was getting really interesting. An attack later on, and powers manifest themselves again. And it had like a Back to the Future vibe, like the movies. So I really like this one, especially when they established that relationship, how he fell. So he got bounced from like current time into the past, and then fell in love with this other doctor, and then it plays a big part in the future issues. I don't think I ever finished it. I think I have 2 more issues. I might get that out of the basement and take it with me to read. But that ends this episode. I want to thank you for listening. I hope you have a happy holiday. You can send me email at mike@comicbooknoise.com, and you can send me information on Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch. And let's, you know what? I was supposed to go over some questions. Damn it. Let me see if I still have them. I used to have where you could bookmark save. Let's see if I have these. Let's see if it'll let me go to this post. Yeah, I do have some questions and I forgot to do it. Ryan Jost from the Star Joe's podcast said he just posted on this on the Star Joe's page, but it would be a great question for me to answer. He says, what character you've only started reading recently that you'd like to read more with that character? It could be a brand new character, an obscure character you never paid much attention to, or a well-known character you just never read until recently. Well, that's really interesting because most of you know I've discovered Marvel Unlimited, and I'm playing in areas that I haven't played with. One of those characters is Warlock. I started reading Warlock in the Infinity Watch, and that is really, really good. I'm up to issue 7, and I'm really enjoying it. Like, I love the characters that he got to watch over some of the gems. I love his that they were put on trial. Like he was put on trial because after he obtained all of the Infinity Stones, all the deities in space, like Eternity and the Living Tribunal, and all of them got together and put him on trial. And there's like, you have way too much power, but not enough discipline. We're not gonna let you survive. Well, he says, well, what if I keep one of the gems and then distribute the gems? Well, he distributed the gems to Drax, who's a real very dumb Drax, Gamora, Pip the Troll, Moondragon, and I think there was another entity which they didn't even announce yet. And after he gave them out, he didn't think anything of it, but there was. In his early, there's a man, not, it's not, I want to say man wolf, but it's like man something or another, that he is one of his major villains on an alternate timeline that he fought with. It's going to drive me crazy now what he was called. It's not man wolf, because there is a man wolf. That's one of my favorite characters, but oh man, it's like wolf something or another. It's gonna drive me crazy, but I don't remember. But he tries to dissipate the team and take all their rings, but Warlock keeps them together in that first six issues. Howard the Duck, I would say, is definitely another one that I never read, that I'm really enjoying it. And on the DC side, there's really nothing because I've always read a lot of DC. On the Marvel side, I keep dropping out of. So I would say Howard the Duck right now, the Steve Gerber Howard the Duck. Oh, Man-Thing is the other one. I'm discovering Steve Gerber Man-Thing for the first time. I have read a lot of Defenders, the entire run of Defenders, actually. Specifically from Steve Gerber, is one of my favorite series, and I am revisiting that, but I can't count that. As far as a title that I'm discovering for the first time, but I'm well aware of the team, and I read all the issues, a lot of the issues of the regular book, is Marvel Knights 4. That's also a pretty amazing book. Never read it, and it's pretty much a human condition thing with the Fantastic Four, and I really enjoy it. I'm also reading another, kind of like September 11th, Captain America. This one I did read, but I never remembered any of it, so I'm rereading it, and turning out to be, at least artistically, a beautiful book. And it's really dark time for Cap, man, after September 11th. He actually killed a guy, punched him in the face, killed him. And then he starts to doubt the United States too, because he thinks that they kept him frozen all these years. And it has like the subplot with the Lemurians, which is an offshoot of the Atlanteans. And he kind of falls in love with a Namor spy. And that turned out to be a really interesting story. So I think I beat that one to death. And then Shane, my friend from Australia, says, a favorite DC character and team. Well, I'm gonna always say the Flash, just because he got me in, but he's not always my favorite, but I would say my favorite is, I will continue to buy him no matter what. The team, I really, really, really love the Freedom Fighters. God, I love that. And I love their books. I love all of the incarnations of them. One of my favorite teams. The other one is Batman and the Outsiders. I love that team. So those, they're probably up there, but I'll go with Freedom Fighters if I have to choose one. Favorite DC team up? That's a tough one. I always like when Superman and Batman team up, but it's overdone. I like it more when it's like a special event. There's the Hal and Barry Green Lantern. They're kind of fun, but I would say team up wise, I'm gonna go with the Dennis O'Neil, Hal Jordan, and Oliver Queen, the Hard Traveling Heroes era. That's my favorite DC team up. A more contemporary one that was interesting was the Blue Devil Black Lightning one in the New 52 relaunch. That was kind of an interesting team up. Favorite DC Elseworld book? I would have to say The Dark DK3. I love that book. It exceeded my expectations, so I even love it more than Dark Knight Returns. So that's my favorite Elseworld book. Favorite Australian? That's an easy question. It's Shane. So I think there was one other question, but I couldn't save it on Twitter, and I can't remember what it was. It was from Kyle Pettit. And I think he would just say, what's your favorite DC, Marvel, and independent book right now, right at this moment? I don't really keep caught up, so I'm going to just say what it is at this moment, what my favorite Marvel, DC, and independent book is. I would say my favorite independent one would go to Redlands from Image Comics. I'm really enjoying the Jody Belair and Vanessa Del Rey book. It didn't start off as my favorite, but as I read up, to 4 or 5 issues, I've really been engrossed in the story. And Slasher, which just finished up from Alternative Comics, that turned out to be really weird and really, really good. So I'll say those two for indie. For and I'll Man, I'm gonna say Savage Dragon too because I'm rereading the archive. I've read all of Savage Dragon archive. I love Savage Dragon. Like there's certain Image books that'll always have a special place in my heart. And Savage Dragon, if I had to choose any of the fathers of Image, Savage Dragon's my favorite, and then Spawn is my second favorite. They're the two that I've pretty much kept up with. Let's see. So that's independent. And I love the Hard Case Crime, but all of the Hard Case Crime from Titan Comics. DC? I don't know what's my favorite right now because I haven't been reading a lot of DC. But I've kept up on Batman. That's definitely not my favorite. Mr. Miracle. Action Comics, Batgirl and the Birds of Prey. There's several of them I kept up with, but man, as far as finding a favorite, I guess I would have to say it's Batgirl right now of the titles that I just mentioned that I'm caught up with. And it's like a 4 out of 5. It's not my highest. Oh no, wait, no. No, my favorite DC is Doomsday. The Doomsday event. That's the Doomsday Clock. That's the one that the Watchmen-esque series that I'm sucked into right now. That is my favorite title. I thought that was phenomenal. That's my favorite DC comic right at the moment. My favorite Marvel title right now, I'm gonna go with an older book. I'm gonna go with Marvel Knights 4. I am really loving this Fantastic Four incarnation. I'm getting really, really hooked on it. It is weird seeing them poor without any money trying to survive. Invisible Girl's got a job teaching English at a school. Mr. Fantastic's working a help desk doing computer stuff. The Human Torch joins the fire department. The Thing is working construction. Namor is coming by to try to convince Sue that she should be with him because Reed's a loser and she would never be in this situation. She should be treated like a queen. I just love it. And then they had like a little alien camping trip thing where they took Franklin camping. It's really not really cool. They had an issue that made me cry, and I think it's because I have a real close friend who got kidney cancer and it's bad. And there's an issue where there was a guy gonna commit suicide off the Baxter Building, and Reed went up there, and the guy was just, depressed. He told him his life story. They lost their kid, a kid really early in life, which made his wife leave him because they couldn't deal with the loss of their child. And then he's been alone all his life, and he's telling Reed, I have terminal cancer and I'm going to die. And it just, man, it just made it teared me up. And he goes, the biggest fear I have right now is all I have is work and myself. I come home and I'm alone and I'm by myself all the time and I don't have anybody and I'm going to die in a hospital by myself and there won't be anybody holding my hand. And it's just heartbreaking. And Reed kind of just gave him a piece of paper and he said, "You call me, I will be there." And he says, "Well, what if you're fighting Dr. Doom or something else is going on?" And Reed said, "You call that number, I will be there." And I don't know, it's just a really touching story. And a lot of these stories are like that. They're just slice of life and them dealing with their lives as people because their identities are known to everybody. But that's my favorite Marvel. So if I have to pick one, you know, I've been jumping around a lot, but Doomsday Clock is my favorite DC book right now. The Marvel Knights 4 is my favorite read from Marvel right now, which isn't current. And my favorite read right now for independent, I'm gonna, if I can only pick one, I mentioned a few, would be Savage Dragon, like 1 through 24, which I just read. Just absolutely love it. So I want to thank you for the questions. I already gave you my contact information. If you get a chance, leave an iTunes review. I hope you all have a peaceful, safe, and fun, if possible, holiday. And welcome you into the new year. So take care and peace out. Bye-bye.